Hello and welcome to Freshwater. Our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, is in a series titled Tough Questions, Straight Answers. You can check out our website at www.freshwaterchurch.net for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, Freshwater. Okay, so that's from The Princess Bride, one of the best movies of all time. And that's something you'll have to, you know, that's a movie you got to see if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, you'll want to see it again. In that movie, we see something about forgiveness and also just about human nature as well, don't we? We see, first off, that kind of the truth of the moment of the day is that resentment is like putting poison in your own cup and expecting your enemy to die. And so that's important as we talk about today's question, forgiveness. And as resentment brews, there's this, you know, dizzying intellect type of thing going on in the battle of wits of how is this going to work and what will they do and so forth. And it's really a picture, isn't it, of unforgiveness. You may think that you're being really smart about it, and maybe even that you're being like a Sicilian about it, but in the end, you're the one drinking the poison. Today, or we're in a series, and we're in a series called Tough Questions. And James 4:2 says that you do not have because you do not ask. And that fits in with a lot of life, and that whole section in James is really good, but it also fits with this series. What we did with this series is we asked you to talk to people, what are your big questions about life, about God, about church, about the Bible, and you know, bring it back to us. And this one is one that we got several different ways. We got some that were very specific examples. How can I forgive someone when they do this? And we had some that were more generic about forgiveness. And so today, our question is, how can I forgive that? Well, to begin this, before we even start, we need to understand what forgiveness is not. And first and foremost, forgiveness is not excusing. Now, I have to admit that I'm a champion of excusing, and there is a lot of times when we need to excuse people. The reason why I'm a champion at excusing is that I know that I have, first, a blind spot. And this happens to me more often, and it always bothers me. But I'm driving, I check the mirror, I turn and look, I change lanes. Oh, no, there was somebody in my blind spot. Happens once a year, maybe. But every time that happens, I'm like, oh, no, what did I just do? I feel so bad. But at the same time, I know they were in my blind spot. And so that happens in life when people, in essence, either literally in traffic cut me off or they cut me off in life. And I think, oh, well, they didn't know I was there. I was in their blind spot. And you know what? There's a lot of times when we have to give people that benefit of the doubt. I think traffic would be a lot better if we did that sometimes. But we need to give people that, you know, they didn't see, they didn't know, they didn't, you know, didn't know that this would happen. And we have to excuse them. Another thing that I admit that I'm an excuser about is that I realize that not everybody, is fully functioning. What I mean by that is this. If you met somebody in a wheelchair, would you be mad at them for not walking, not carrying their groceries or whatever? No, of course not. Well, I know in dealing with people that some people have had different struggles growing up and in life. And, you know, they're to say it, they're emotional cripples or relational cripples. They have grown up in maybe a very dysfunctional situation, and they just don't have that relational ability that is maybe normal. And so, you know what? I know that that's somebody that I'm going to say, well, you know, I know enough about them that I'm not going to expect them to carry their own groceries or whatever relationally. And so I give them the benefit of the doubt and I excuse that behavior. But I must realize that in excusing is not forgiveness. It's excusing. It's saying it's okay. I understand. From your background, from your perspective, you didn't see it. You didn't realize it. I excuse you. And that is not forgiveness. What will really challenge you if you're an excuser is when you come to the point when you go, wait a minute, there is no excuse in the world for that behavior, for what they did, for that knife in my back. There is no excuse in the world. And that's, I admit, of the list that we're going to go through, I am an excuser first. And so the thing that challenges me is when I go, wait a minute, there is no excuse for that. So forgiveness is not excusing, and forgiveness is not denial. There is denial in our lives, is right. You know, we just want to pretend that it didn't happen. We want it to, you know, go away, and I'm just going to cover my ears and la 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 la. I didn't hear it, and we want to pretend and we want to deny that it happened, and just pretend that it's okay. And some families, it's the big elephant in the room, right? Some things happened and no one wants to talk about it, and we just pretend that nothing happened and it's all okay. That is not excusing, and that's not, or not forgiveness. That's not healthy as well. Also, not forgiveness is repression. Sometimes we just take the hurt and we stuff it inside. Now, by the way, I am a firm believer in stuffing when it comes to anger. You know, sometimes you need to walk around the block and count to 10, count to 10,000, count to 10 million. But by stuffing anger, it subsides, right? And you're able to think more clearly. You can stuff anger, but you cannot stuff hurt, pain, fear. That will come back to haunt you. That will, you know, brew up, and that is not forgiveness. Another is that's not forgiveness is putting it in God's hands. Oh, we Christians, we're so good. What we like to do is we'll say, well, you know what? I forgive them. I can't do anything about it, but God's gonna get them. Right? And all, we're not really forgiving at that point, right? We're just pushing off our tool of vengeance, right? We're just saying, well, God's going to get him. That is not forgiveness. Forgetting is also not forgiveness. It often goes with the person who's pretending that nothing happened. You know, and if we just put some miles underneath the, you know, down the road, or some water under the bridge, and I'll just forget about it and it'll be fine. We still haven't forgiven. And probably the most important one of what's not forgiveness is being a doormat is not forgiveness. And what I call this is foolish trust. Foolish trust is saying, you know, I forgive you, and so I trust you now again. Forgiveness is not necessarily trust. There's some times when you ought not trust, but you always should forgive. Now, here is a picture of a very beautiful 1978 Mercury Cougar. That was my second car as a teenager, and it was beautiful to me then. Now I look at it, and I go, man, that was a happening car. Well, I'm just missing a purple fedora with a big purple feather with that car, aren't I? Man, what was I thinking? But at the time, I was a teenager, and I was in love, because that was my car, and it was... you know, enjoyed it thoroughly. Well, anyway, here I am with my 1978 Mercury Cougar, and one time I was at work. I'm a teenager. I'm working at a grocery store, and a friend of mine stopped by and said, "Jeff, can I borrow your car?" And not thinking too quickly, but just said, "Oh, sure, here." And then, but as I'm doing it, I'm having second thoughts already. As I'm doing it, I said to my friend, I was a, or by the way, little background to this. I was a dumb teenager. Yeah. In fact, I do a test. Let's do it now for the benefit of teenagers. You can use this wherever you're at for teenagers. How many of you people who are no longer teenagers but were once teenagers thought that at the time you could handle about any problem there was? Yeah? Teenagers? Yeah? Oh, come on. We got them all. All right. Now, secondly... Now, looking back at your teenager years, who had the better decision-making ability? you as a teenager or the typical squirrel? How many would say squirrel? Me? Squirrel did much better than I did. So anyway, I was a dumb teenager, and guess what? I'm handing my keys to another dumb teenager. And at the moment, I had just a twinge of, wait a minute, but it didn't stop there. And so I said, I'm letting you drive my car. I'm not letting anyone else. So, and so I handed the keys over, letting you drive my car, not anyone else. Don't let anyone else drive it. So, anyway, I'm at work and so forth, and a few hours later, I get a call, and the call goes, Jeff, I let someone drive your car, and can you come right now? And there it is. Oh man, those are the pictures, from that day. And, you know what? Forgiveness happened, but never again did I give my keys to that person, and very rarely do I give my keys to a teenager. Why? Because forgiveness is not being a doormat. It's not foolish trust. And there are times in as you're dealing with forgiveness that you do need to separate those two and say, you know what? I'm not giving you my keys. I forgive you. I love you. But I'm not giving you my keys. And whatever the keys signify in your life. Now, that said, I have to say that I'm generally a pretty trusting person. I think it's healthy to be a very trusting person. But still, there are times that we have to say, I'm not giving you my keys. Because that's, you know, that would be foolish, right? So what forgiveness? We went through the list of what it is not. Now, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a banking term, actually. It's something we use in life all the time, but actually it's a banking term. The Greek word here is aphemi, which means to let go, to cancel, to pardon, to forgive. And you'll see it in a greater definition, and I'll use it in context of life, but you'll see all of the banking terms used here. Someone does something wrong and painful to you. And in essence, they stole something from you. And that creates a debt. In banking, debt can be redeemed, can be paid off through someone else or through yourself. And that's called redemption or redeeming the debt. Or you can forgive the debt, and that is to just erase it. And now that we see it in banking terms, we realize, okay, what has happened has been wrong, it's been hurtful, there's no excuse for it, and it has created a debt. That person owes me because they stole something of value to me. In essence, that wrong thing, that hurt. They stole my peace, they stole my past, they stole my well-being. And it hurt, and there's a debt. So we are in, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18 as we look at forgiveness and how to forgive. So Matthew 18 and starting at verse 23, I'm going to break this into two pieces as we look at it. And Jesus is telling a parable and he says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." We'll stop right there. Okay, first off, do you see all the banking terms, right? This is a banking thing, the idea of forgiveness. And we see here, first, the hurt. First, the hurt. Sin, whether we sin against God, or but also sin is a word that we use when people do wrong to us. And it hurts. It creates a hurt. In the master of the parable, the hurt was 10,000 talents. Well, what in the world is that? Well, 10,000 talents is a weight. And usually they're talking about talents of silver. So I, knowing conversion charts, I got out my calculator and I went out to the board and found out what silver closed at Friday. And I went out and I got my calculator and figured out how much is 10,000 talents of silver worth in today's money. Got out my calculator and boom, $424.2 million. The point of all this that Jesus is making is that this guy, he could have all the time in the world. He's never going to be able to pay back $424.2 million, right? Jesus used this gigantic number to make a point. There's nothing this guy could do. There's nothing he could do. And by the way, it doesn't matter how rich you are. $424.2 million hurts when somebody takes it and doesn't give it back. And that is the hurt that we feel. That there is a deep hurt. People do things and it hurts. And a debt is created. For us, it hurts too. People do rotten things. And if we deny the hurt, we are being dishonest with ourselves. True, sometimes we can be overly sensitive. But the whole point is to recognize the hurt. For the Lord, it also hurts. The point of this parable is that He is the Lord, the master of the parable. And we may think that we have little sins and that it's not much. The point that Jesus is making in this parable is that it's a whole lot. It's $424.2 million worth of hurt that we have created in our relationship with the Lord in what we call little sins. In a very real sense, little sins are the nails that were driven into His hands and feet. It hurt. And they're serious. Next, we see the washing of forgiveness. And this must have been a moment. For the servant of the parable, he was merely asking for more time. As ridiculous as it sounds, he says, "Be patient with me. I'll get it. I'll fix it. Don't worry. I'll get it. Give me more time." And ridiculous. He asked for more time, but instead, he had his debt wiped out instantly. That must have been a feeling, right? Can you imagine being in that room? Can you imagine being that servant where you're the one and this guy, by your fault entirely, you owe him far more than you could ever pay back. And he has every right in the world to sell everything you have, including in that time, your children. Can you imagine when he goes, "All right, it's forgiven. I'm erasing the debt. It's done." There is an emotional response that would happen there, and you can bet there was emotion in that room. The point of the parable is that this is us. This is exactly where we're at. We owe much more than we could ever pay. And the good news of Jesus is that sin is forgiven. And there's a washing of our soul at that moment when we receive Him, that brings forgiveness that is amazing. And then there's a freedom of forgiveness as well. When I was a little kid, I was obsessed with efficiency. I still am a little bit. But I was obsessed with efficiency. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, I started mowing lawn when I was 7. At that time, now I look back and go, 7? Really? Wow. But yeah, mowing lawn at 7. And one of the things I did, and I was a little older, I was maybe 10 or 11 at this time, I was mowing lawn. One of the things that I did, though, even starting back at that early, is I would map out the lawn and think, what's the most efficient way to get this thing mowed? And actually, I'd spend more time mapping it out than the time I saved, but that was beside the point, because I was being efficient. And so I was obsessed with efficiency, and I would look at the lawn, and I'd say, you know, if I went that way, and then went this way, you know, and if I took that piece and then this piece and so forth. which would be the most efficient way to get this lawn mowed. And as one day when I was doing that, I decided that the most efficient way to do this was, we had a piece of lawn that was over here and a piece of lawn was over there, and in the middle of that was a driveway, which was a gravel driveway. And I thought, you know what, if I just took the lawnmower across the driveway and hit that section, I think by doing that, I would be most efficient. So I did that, and I keep the lawnmower running, and I go across the driveway. And you already know what's happening, don't you? I hit the driveway, I go across, things were fine, nothing's bad. And very shortly, the little old lady that lived across the street came over saying, I was sitting in my living room when a rock came through my window. And my dad was there, and at first I wanted to, you know, plead my case. No, I didn't hit a rock. What was she thinking? You know, I don't know where it came from, but it didn't come from me. And my dad just said, I'll take care of it. He took the window, he fixed it, he brought it back. And in my argument at first, I went, how am I going to replace that window? You know, that's more allowance and lawn mowing money than I make in a long time. How in the world am I? I don't have the money. How am I going to do that? And my dad just said, I'll take care of it. Boom, done. And it was. It was done. It wasn't like, well, you're going to pay me back or you're going to get a lecture. It was boom, done. And he did the trust thing about maybe that isn't the most efficient way to mow the lawn. But but it was done. It was over. And there is a freedom of forgiveness because we are shackled with debt. And when we are forgiven, just like this man who felt that moment, he had a new found freedom. This is us. We have a new found freedom. For the servant of the parable, for that lawn mowing kid, and spiritually for us, there is a previously unknown and current indescribable freedom entirely because of forgiveness. And by the way, it works on both sides in us and our human condition. That when we are forgiven, we feel those shackles fall off. But guess what? When we're the forgivers, it happens all the more because it's a debt that they can't repay. And so we get to move on. We get to, as the Afemi word says, let it go. Move on. So let's continue the act of empowering forgiveness. And so here we see kind of a rough spot in the story. Continuing on in verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. By the way, that's like 10 bucks. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went back and told their master everything that had happened. And I'll just end it there. So, here we are, empowered forgiveness. And we see something here that was, well, really a message for us. Forgiveness is a decision. First and foremost, we talk about what it is not. First and foremost, it is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Someone once said that to forgive is to give up all hope on a better past. I love that definition. Is to give up all hope on a better past. And that's exactly it. The person hurt you. They messed up. And now they messed up your past. But I'm going to give up all hope on having a better past. I'm going to move toward a better future. It's a decision. Forgiveness is healing. When we forgive, we are healed. When we're forgiven, we're healed. Forgiveness is God's gift to you. It's a gift to free us from our inability. To love in the face of pain and hurt. To love genuinely in the face of pain and hurt. So how can we forgive? First off and foremost, we have to know that there's power steering involved here. There basically is two ways to find to be a forgiver, to forgive someone. The hard way and the easy way. Or maybe better ways to say is the difficult way and the almost impossible way. Because there's power steering involved in forgiveness. And one of my first times driving, I had taken my mom's stick shift car, and there's a longer story to that. That would be fun some other time. But I'd taken my mom's, and if you've met my mom, she's about 5 foot nothing. And I was a teenage bodybuilder. And I took her little stick shift, and because it was my first, one of my first times driving, I was driving real slow. And you know when you have a car with that doesn't have power steering? When you drive slow, it's really hard to turn. And I'm just cranking on this wheel thinking, how in the world does my mom know how to do that? How can she steer this thing? Here I am just fighting this car. Well, there's power steering with forgiveness. And it doesn't make it super easy. It makes it difficult rather than almost impossible. The power steering of forgiveness is knowing that we've been forgiven. Now, we've been forgiven in Jesus Christ. It's part of that parable. Here's somebody that's been forgiven a ton, and he's really encouraged to forgive a little. And in a very real sense, that's what's happened to us. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." And Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Well, how did he forgive? Well, he forgave generously, completely, graciously. That's how we're to forgive. So, how do we do that? First, how do we forgive? How can we forgive even that big thing? Well, first off, it may not be trust, and we ought not stuff it, and we ought not excuse it, and so forth. First, we realize our own forgiveness. And in our forgiveness, we can be forgivers. Secondly, don't excuse it, don't stuff it, don't pretend. Just let it go. Write it off. Erase it. Really, is there a way that they could repay it? I don't think so. That person who has hurt you owes you a debt they can't repay. There's no way to give you a better past. So let it go. The best avenue for a better present and future is the divine love and forgiveness. Third, I realize this. I have been faced with difficult times in forgiving people who didn't have an excuse, who for money or for other reasons stabbed me directly in the back. And there are times when I choose to forgive, but that hurt comes back every now and again. And so what do you do with that when it hurts again? When we're reminded of the hurt they gave, remember again the forgiveness we received. In a very real sense, those little things, even though they might be little to us because we live in a human world where little things happen all the time, but for a holy God, those little things hurt deeply. He forgave us. So back to the Battle of Wits and the Princess Bride. As we're dealing with the cup, and one of them is poisoned, and by the way, if you see the, you'll find out how that happened. If you watch the movie, it won't be a spoiler. But how do we pick the goblet that doesn't have poison? Well, the key is to drink neither. Right? Forgiveness is saying, I'm not going to drink any of these. I'm not. This is done. This is over. I forgive you. And the problem of when we're in that point, and I've been in that point, when it's so difficult to forgive, is that we're scheming about which goblet to drink and which one to give them. And it's a pain. It's hard. And I have been there. Forgiveness says, I'm not playing this game. I'm not going to drink either of the goblets. So, do you have power steering? Today, do you have power steering? That's really where we want to focus this, is do we have power steering in our own forgiveness? And today I want to offer you power steering. Jesus forgives sin. And we have done a lot of harm in our relationship with God. We may think it's little things, but to Him it hurt deeply because He is so holy. And the good news of all of these texts that I've read is that He has the ability and He is willing to erase whatever size debt you have. If it's $10 or if it's $424.2 million worth, He has the ability, relationally, spiritually, to erase that debt. And so for a moment, I want us to just think of those sins that we have committed. And then I'd love the honor, the pleasure of leading you to the cross to find forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Master. And Lord, we come to you and we realize that we have accrued a debt we cannot pay, we cannot fix. And Lord, we repent of our sins. We want to change directions. We turn now from the world and to you. And Lord, through Jesus, we ask your forgiveness. Jesus, come into our lives, forgive us of our sins, wash us anew, and lead us into freedom. And Lord, as we look at those situations that have hurt us deeply, we pray for your divine power that we might be forgivers as we have been forgiven. Generously, graciously, completely forgiven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.